must do. Psalm 37. Let's stand to read God's Word, if you can, if you're possible, then stand. If not, don't you move just because you're going to get a better job, because I'll tell you what, it costs you a lot of money to move. It costs an awful lot of money to move. And usually the things that they promise you are not what you thought they were going to be. So the children of Israel, they stopped off. There's 2.5 tribes stopped off because a good place to raise cattle, terrible place to raise kids. They missed out. Listen, says, verily, sometimes you'll have bills and bills of bill. Finally, just maybe you just might get a good crop, or you might get something to help you. And God will take care of you. Give us this day our daily bread. Didn't say anything about tomorrow. It says today. It's called living by faith. So take it easy. Set your roots. Check out what's going on. And make sure you're doing right. Now, some of you have talked to me about moving. I am not talking to you. I'm talking about people who haven't even thought about this. I'm nipping it in the bud. That means when you're out there in the garden and you see this little critter starting to grow, two little, you nip it. Boy, I'll tell you what. You let that thing grow for a while, it's hard to pull out of that garden, amen? It'll ruin some things. So I'm just trying to help you out there. Number four, verse four. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. That means it'll take a while. Just hang on. We'll see your righteousness or not. Amen. We'll see what you're made out of. And thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. And, this is a terrible word for Christians. Wait patiently for him. Wait patiently. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. One day I was reading this and I thought, there's a list of things. I always like lists. Lists are things that open up a safe. Turn it to the right, turn it to the left, turn it to the right, turn it to the left, turn it to the right, turn it to the left, and you do it right, click, opens up, amen. And there's some combinations in the Word of God that says, hey, you want to live a long life? This is what you do. Scripture teaches us here that these are things you must do to live a healthy and a vibrant life in this world. I don't know about you, but I want to be healthy. And I want to be strong. I want many days I can serve the Lord. I had a very difficult time seeing my cousin, my best friend when I was growing up, to see him just waste away. I went from 211 or 191 pounds down to 112 pounds in a year. What an incredible thing. Just look at a skeleton. And I want to be vibrant. I want to do some things, amen. Amen. And I want to keep doing some things, and I want to keep my faculty with me. I want to keep this stuff going up here. That's why I cut my hair short so the sun get close to it and grow better, amen. But some of you don't even have to worry about that. I'll leave it there. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, see the things that we must do. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for these dear folks. Again, pray for Michaela. My heart's and my mind just with her tonight. And her family, Brother Brown, his wife, brother, her brother. Lord, be at the church tonight over there. And Lord, may it be a blessing to help the Lord to know that you are answer of prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the 1800s, there was a little girl, a young little girl, who was put in prison, and she watched through the castle prison bars And she watched down and saw a little milkmaid who was free to come and go any place she wanted to go, free to go as she pleased. And she had only knew that if someone could have told her that in a few days that she would be a lot freer than that little milkmaid. Her name happened to be Queen Elizabeth of England. For years she sadly waited in jail for days if someone would come and tell her that for the next 44 years that she would reign over the greatest kingdom that ever was on this earth back in those times. What a glorious reign she enjoyed. Some people whine and pine over the things which they have no idea that God is doing in their life. I catch myself doing that. I'm sorry. I catch myself. This is not a sermon to you. This is a sermon to me. So you're just going to have to stay here and listen to me. I find myself not complaining. I'm not griping, but I find myself wondering, what if? And you know, that's really stupid. You can say amen. So I'm preaching it myself. It's really stupid to think that way. Because if God created this heaven and the earth in 6 days, and I'll tell you what, it's a magnificent job. And if God answers my prayer, which He does so many times, and God gives me the desires of my heart, even more than I ever dreamed, it's incredible what He does for us. Amen. Why am I sitting in the dugout, chewing on sunflower seeds and spitting them out and wondering what's going to happen? And there's so many times we're not ready for certain jobs in life, and so God has to really put us through the ringer and shove us through some things that are pretty tight in that straight way that He has for us. I'm just speaking to Brother Rick about certain things. I said, you know, Brother Rick, when you walk with the Lord and things happen to you, you just know that God's in it with you. But boy, when you're off out here on the end of a branch of a tree, and when you're just kind of going around here and going around there, and you don't know which way to go, and you don't know if God's with you or not on this thing, buddy, you're in trouble. And your heart knows it. Right. A lot of people have a lot of high blood pressure or hypertension because they're not really sure what God has for them. And they cannot rest assured that God knows best for us. Psalm 37, David gives, if I count it right, 9 different things that we should be very careful to do and some things careful not to do. I found it better some things I shouldn't do compared to things I should be doing. Yeah. Certain things in my life, no, I'm not going there, amen.
Right.
God said, I don't want you to go there. And Lord, you're talking to me and I'm listening to me. First of all, he says that we must not fret at God's providence. Number one, shouldn't fret at God's providence. God has a certain providential things for us that we're going to do or not do. And we, you know, like man said, it's easy to pray for the weather change than pray for your wife to change. And it's easier for the weather, you pray for the weather to change than for your husband to change. Because he has or she has a free will. Well, wouldn't it be great if you could just dial it in and say, hey, that's what this old boy's going to do.
Yeah.
Hey, wouldn't you girls be happy? You're trying it all the time, you know. Don't you know you ain't going to change that little boy? He ain't going to change. His mama beat him until he was 20. He's still a same little boy. Come on now, I'm trying to help you there. He has certain desires and they have to be met or he's going to get mad or pout or whine or get it some other way, which is not a very good idea to do. But he's going to get it. Example. When I first moved to Great Falls, everybody I was running around with had pistols. I needed a pistol. And when I get a pistol, I don't want something that goes, I want something that goes, boom, boom. I mean, one of them things, you know. So I went down to Shields, and I looked around, and I found a 44 Magnum, 10.5-inch barrel, Black Hawk pistol. Every time I walked, it sparked on the ground, man. It's like carrying a rifle. I wanted that pistol. You know what I did? I went and bought it. Back in those days, they had a charges deal. Went and bought it. But I didn't tell my wife. Oh, yeah, I'm telling things now I would never tell. This is 30 years ago. I think it's past the time of... Thank you. I never bought it. Brought it home, hit it in the garage. Boy, that's a blessing. I am a pastor. I'm 38, pretty close to 40 years old. I'm hiding something from my wife. Never done anything like that in my life. I don't know what possessed me. That's it, probably possessed. But anyway, I don't know what in the world going on, but I had that pistol. That time we had John Kegerize in our church. John Kegerize was the best shot I ever seen with a pistol. And he always had a pistol, and I talked him up. Oh, yeah, preacher, you need a 44 mag. Because when the bear comes out, you shoot it. I found out later, you shoot a bear with a 44, that just makes him mad. You don't kill bears with a 44. Well, you can with a 240-grain bullet. But breaks your wrist when it goes off, amen. What in the world's wrong with me? And some of you wrestlers probably got one under your car, or in your car, in your garage, someplace. You say, I ain't going to tell her that. But that's what I'm telling you. These little boys, they're going to do what they want to do. And it'd be best to say, yeah, honey, you go get it. Well, you say, what do you mean? Yeah, because he is the head of the home. And God will bless you when you are very careful about you being submitting to him.
Amen.
My wife found that out a long time ago. It was a very wonderful thing. And I like what Larry Smith's dear wife says. She says, I believe in submission. Duck submitting. I said, what? She said, I believe in duck submitting. I tell him, honey, he asked me, and I said, honey, I really don't know if God really wants us to have that. Well, honey, I think we ought to. Well, go ahead. And then she says, when God gets him, I'm going to duck because I'm going to let him take care of him, not me. Amen. That's a smart way of doing things. Amen. So the Bible says that we should not fret at God's promise. He said also that we ought to trust in the Lord. And do good. There's a lot of people that don't do good. You're just mean. You're just a critter. You're like a rattlesnake in a corner. You have no mercy. You have no grace. You are so just and so perfect. You have no bowels of mercy. Bowels of mercy comes from this idea that when you see somebody get hurt, it just kind of hurts you here. Have you ever seen anybody get hurt like that? And you go like, oh, man. That's bowels of mercy. The Bible said we ought to have that. We ought to exhibit that.
Amen.
You know, it scares me when I see people just, they don't crack a smile. They don't cry. They have no feelings except for themselves unless when they get hurt or something. Boy, they want everybody to come to their house and bring them food. Amen.
Right.
Boy, you let something happen in there, in somebody else's life, they say, eh, whatever. God gives us many opportunities to minister grace and mercy. Many opportunities. Yet we do not do good. God said, hey, you have got to trust in me and you've got to do good. When's the last time you did good to somebody? I love what Mrs. Evans used to say. Why don't you just give them what they want? Instead of making them beg you and fall on their face before you, why don't you just give people what they want? I think Jesus said that when a man comes, when you have something the man needs, you just give it to him. Right. And don't expect it back.
Right.
By the way, the poor people have no right to come to the rich people and ask for money. That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
The rich man sees a man need, he goes and helps him.
Yep.
And he tries to do it as quietly as he can without anybody else knowing about it.
Amen.
When's the last time you just went crazy and did something crazy? In the back of my billfold right behind my badge. If you find my billfold by that, you'll find something in here. No, you won't, because I gave it away.
Amen.
Is there there in there?
No, there's nothing in there, is there?
I usually keep something in there.
That's good.
Go! I thought I had that in there. I'm broke! The Lord says, Lord, you ever feel that way? Lord says, and you go, and you got to do it.
Right.
And I did it. And this guy calls me back a day later, and he says, I had no idea. He's a preacher, young preacher, needed some help. He said, I had no idea what you put in my pocket. I said, why, didn't you like it? Oh, man, brother. I said, then let's just praise God about it. Amen.
Amen.
When's the last time you did something really radical? When's the last time?
You know, yes,
you say, but nobody does that to me. Duh. Why do they want to do it to you? You wouldn't do it to somebody else. People just expect it. Saw a little girl come up to me and say, oh, preacher, tomorrow's my birthday. I said, okay. Wow, cool. Oh, it's my birthday. I pulled out a little money and handed it to her. She went crazy. I went flat out crazy. You can't buy nothing like that. You couldn't go to Disney World and get so much fun. She spun around. I thought she'd do a double back flip. Amen. She was so happy. You know what? When's the last time you did something good?
Yeah.
Don't worry what you're getting. Worry what somebody else is getting. Come on now. Jesus came. He did what his heavenly Father wanted him to do. And he was always doing something. Always giving. Always feeding. Whatsoever a man sow. You say, preacher, why do you go to so many rest homes? It must be really taxing. Yeah, sometimes it really is. I've been going to benefits at least almost 28 years now. Every week.
Amen.
I do it because my daddy had to go to a rest home. He called me up crying, an 87-year-old man crying out of his shoulder and says, I haven't been in church for 3 weeks. I said, don't they have some preacher? No, he said, no preacher comes here. I went out and I had some preacher boys in the church here and there, always griping, wanting to get to preach. I'd give them 10 minutes. And when I did, they'd gripe about that. So I said, fine, you ain't going to get no 10 minutes. I said, get out and get a rest home.
Amen.
Get out there and get one of those little holes. Be your own church.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, the Eagles is your church, man. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you what, I didn't come in it last week because I had to be gone something. Boy, I got the earful. Man. Where were you at? I'm going like, I don't think I've been paid for this lately. I do get a banana and a glass of cold water over at Benefits now. They finally got that taken care of. That's the most I get paid. I drive my car, my fuel, my time. But you don't understand. I've won a lot of people. If it was just to get Kim and Joyce at Heritage Baptist Church, Bless God, it is worth it all.
Amen.
Do good.
Amen.
Quit worrying about yourself. Man, so people are so selfish. Oh, we're going to do that. We might not have. No, you might not have. Because when you don't sow, you don't reap.
Right.
Did you know those people up at Hope, Michigan came in this summer and came in and planted a whole bunch of bags of soybean in that field? I wish I could show you. I took one stem, Jim, and it's about 4 foot tall, and I got over a handful in just one stem. That's one seed. I wish I'd counted it. You're not sowing. You're not doing what God wants you to do. God said, hey, here's some things I want you to do. And David said, here's 9 things. Hey, remember now, fret not. Do good. Trust the Lord. Then 3, he said, delight ourselves in the Lord. I love that word, delight. Every time I see this couple over here,
amen,
they're delighting in each other. I want to tell you something. Larry Brown just got married. Y'all understand that, right, Taronda? My wife finally says, will you kids quit that? We're going through Glacier. And they're slobbering. Every time they get out, they're kissing on each other. My wife is going like that. Come on, yeah. You know what? They're delighting in each other.
Amen.
The Bible says delight. Listen, when I found Marcia, and we got to see each other one day at her dad's church, and then I went back to college, and about about a month later, she's walking down, going down to Old Main at Pillsbury. And I'm in second floor. I see her, bless God. I pulled my window up. And by the way, we got a new rule in the book because of that. No yelling out the windows. 50, what do they call them? Demerits. And all. Yeah, buddy. Got one in the book. Hey, what are you doing? She says, oh, my daddy's preaching today at chapel. Yeah, well, how come you're not there? How come you're walking up and down this thing, you know? She looked at her and, man, I delighted in that, buddy. I took her to class with me. I said, want to go to class with me? She said, well, I suppose. Why? I took her to class with me, and how do you introduce? Well, Sheldon, I see you have a guest here today. What do you say? This is my girlfriend? We'd only met once. This is what I said. Her dad's preaching in chapel today. Oh, wonderful. Good to have you today, Miss Marcia Fry. And but I'm delighted. I remember going home for the summer, and halfway through the summer, last part of the summer, she flew home, and then we were going to come back to college together. And the plane was late. I just knew it crashed. I just knew I had finally found the love of my life, my soulmate, the greatest thing ever happened to me in my life. And that plane didn't get in within a half hour. And I tell you what, I was just pacing the floor. And boy, when that old airplane came in and the smoke coming off the tires, buddy, I was pretty tickled. And when I saw her, holy cow, happy that, you know, in Bible college, you can't kiss. Right?
Amen.
Not supposed to kiss.
Right.
All right, next point. Don't you do that.
Right on that one.
See, look at what happened to me. Because I did that, amen. Then number 4, he said, commit our ways to God. Commit your ways. Hey, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Commit your ways to the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord. Just commit it to the Lord. Commit your ways unto the Lord. And then he says, we must have upright, must be patient and exhibit humble affections. And we must seek righteous things. Get the law in your heart.
Amen.
I'm not going there. That's not right. We're not supposed to do that. And then number 9, keep our ways and wait on God. And don't use ill means.
Amen.
Isn't it interesting? This psalm, written over a couple thousand years ago, speaks of the very problems which endanger us today.
Yep. Right.
You know, isn't it amazing? The Bible is the same today. It just, it is appropriate. It just fits every time. Amen. In the hours of adversity, when we think that we have been treated harshly, when one of our family members dealt with us unfairly, when we see a person who is completely destitute of Christianity, who is not honest, and we stand there rejoicing in his abundant, he stands there rejoicing in his abundant wealth, and we're tithing and giving our alms and our offerings, and we're trying everything we can to do right, and we just get more in debt and more in debt. And by the way, that's called faith, if you haven't found that out yet. And you say, man, I just can't keep doing this. But it's in the book. God sets the record straight. He says, fret not thyself and be evildoers. Fret not. Now don't miss it now. Don't miss what the Holy Spirit was telling King David. This command is to be greatly needed today. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. To fret means to worry. It has this idea, idea of having heartburn. You ever have heartburn?
Yep.
Says, fret not. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. If it's a scab, don't pick it. Just leave it alone. Everybody wants to pick their scab and then leave scars. Leave it alone. Quit picking on it.
Yeah.
Fret not. It also has this idea, the word picture of to fume. Kind of like a skunk. I was talking to a guy the other day in Michigan. He caught a skunk in his trap. And it was almost all white. And he threw a blanket over top of it. And they won't blow their little stinker off if you do that. But he wanted to see this skunk, and he lifted up and in the face. Brother, that old skunk was fuming. Somewhere, someplace, down by my house, there's a skunk. I think somebody must have ran over it, because I came home the other day, and I smell a skunk. Somebody had a skunk, amen. Fuming. Just keep irritating. So don't do that. It has this idea of becoming vexed. You know, my neighbor, I'm going to get him to church, but he has got this humongous monster Dodge truck that has pipes come out of it like that. He'll pull that old Dodge truck up in front of his mom's house and sit there with it. And the windows of our house are like this. One of these days I'm going to go talk to him. The other day I was doing some things. I'm trying to concentrate. That's kind of hard for me to do lately. And I'm just trying to concentrate. And finally I says, you see, I was becoming vexed. He was vexing me. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Your kids vex you, Mama. And they know that pretty soon that button is going to be pushed. And Mama is going to come unglued. Superwoman. Get out of my house. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Now them kids know about it. Grandkids know how to push the buttons. Amen. That's what it's talking about. Fret not. Don't be vexed. Don't be vexed. It also has this idea of to be bitter and show bitterness and make bitter. That is what a lot of parents do to their children. Some things that are taken out of context or said in the heat of the moment. I got a funeral tomorrow. The man that died 8 years ago told his brother, "Why don't you just die?" 2 days later, he was hit by a locomotive and died. How'd you like to live with that one? Better be careful what you're saying.
Right, yeah.
Hey, teenager, listen to me. Young girls, young boys, listen to me. Better be careful what you say. You'll have something in your crawl you can't get rid of, amen. Fret not, it's not a really big thing right at first. But they put more wood on the fire, become bigger and bigger, and they're out of control. God says, fret not. Some of you guys say some really stupid stuff. I know. Because I'm a husband. I say really stupid stuff. I mean really stupid stuff. I mean, whew! Really dumb, ignorant, unbelievable, stupid. And all those other words go with it. And if you go back at him, fight's going to start. And all of a sudden, you can't keep it in the bedroom. You got to yell and scream through the house. And you say, "You've been talking to my wife?" "No, but I've been married for 44 years. Those things happen. And you got to be on your tiptoes all the time. And you need to walk softly. And you need to be careful about your mouth, because someday you say drop dead and they may."
Right.
That'd be a pretty sad deal, wouldn't it? Psalm 119, 165. Come on. Who said that? "Great peace have they that love thy law," and I'm not very good at that one. Neither you. "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That is the biggest lie. You call me fat. Let me call myself fat. That's okay. But you call me fat, that hurts. You say that I don't love you, that breaks my heart. You'd be amazed what a little word will say that just... You know, some people... You know what a tripwire is? How many know what a tripwire is? Yeah, you especially know what a tripwire is. A baby's ready to go any time, right? Some of your wives have a triplet wire. And you don't even know that it exists. It's an explosive device. Oh my goodness. No atom bomb can make any more mess than that thing. And you just say one thing, or you cross one little line, and she'll leave you. She said, "I'm going back to mommy. I've had it with this. I don't want no more marriage." And you didn't even know it happened to you. I talked more young couples today that said, "You know what? I didn't know why she left me. I didn't know there was a problem." So the Bible says that you're not to fret. The Bible said you better walk carefully, because there are some people out there that are fuming. They're bitter. They don't know which way to turn.
Yeah.
You heard of people just all off and shooting somebody. You know, what was that all about? I don't know. Just felt like it. I'd rather you didn't feel like it around me. Yell, scream, don't shoot. That hurts. Now, I don't bleed very good. Our sinful nature is very well equipped to kindle the fire with jealousy. Well, they get all the stuff. They got, you know, people with stuff are not as happy as you without stuff.
Right.
People with stuff. Stuff breaks down. Stuff has to be found. There's a man sitting about third row back. He's a millionaire from California. This is when we were building inside. And I was preaching about, you know me, I just shoot at everything, amen. Hope I hit something, amen. And I talked about it. I said, can you imagine a man that's a millionaire? I said, the frustration he has, he can't find the key for his vehicle. Or can't find the key to unlock that building. He knows he has something there. He can use it, so he just goes down and buys another one. He has to buy food for his dogs to guard his place. He can't even get into his own place because the dogs are so mean. And I just went on and on. That man got saved that night. I said, what's the deal? He says, preacher, things do not make me happy. But he said, I got something that will make me happy now in my heart. Yeah. Yeah. Our sinful nature, I want you to get this. Our sinful nature is very well equipped to kindle the fire with jealousy. When we see lawbreakers riding on horses, this old preacher wrote this. When I see a lawbreaker riding on a horse and the obedient Christian walking in the mire, the mud, if we would only realize that God is trying to get us to learn some important lessons so that we will put our trust in Him completely. Forget the horse. They become lessons can be learned, and those lessons can only be learned in the school of grace. Oh man, I hate going to that school. Don't you? I don't like that school of grace. I don't like the school of grace and lose a job. Amen. I don't like the school of grace when a child walks away from God. Amen. I don't like the school of grace when something breaks. It seems like everybody else is just going okay. Why am I on the side of the road and oil on the ground? Why does my furnace not work? Why does my air conditioner doesn't work? Why is this? Why is this? Why is this? It's a school of grace. I ain't taking it. I ain't taking it not having enough money to pay that bill. How you taking it that you have no hope of tomorrow? You're praying every night, oh God, come quickly, amen. School of grace. And most of us are in it for life. There's always something going on. And nobody there to help you. God said, well, let's see how you're doing. You were shouting glory to God and hallelujah last Sunday night. How you doing now? Right. Oh, yeah, you told your co-worker, boy, God really blessed me. Now how you doing? School of grace.
Right.
How come you didn't get the promotion? He did. How come that he got that and I didn't? How come he got the officer of the year and I didn't get the officer of the year? And I know that he cheats. I know that he doesn't. I know what kind of life he is. And I know that he is not a good family man. I know he doesn't take care of his family. Hey, don't you fret. Leave it alone. You take care of yourself and you thank God that someday you turn around and you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, it's okay. But they always get the big deer. They always get the big elk. They always shoot the big bear. They always get the big animal. They always... Hey. Is that what life is about? Come over to my house. I got some trophy heads. You know what my dad used to call them? Dust collectors. You know what at my house? I got dust collectors. You can only tell the story once or twice. Everybody's heard it. Big deal. You got to get a bigger one. So I guess that wasn't as important as I thought it was going to be, was it? Oh, man, I came back. I pulled back my bow. I shot an arrow up in the air. Where it went, I know not where. When it came down to the ground, I found it stuck in my radiator. I wish we could just be calm. Take it easy. By the way, it is great when you go out hunting. It is a great thrill. It's a great thrill when you hit a hole in one. It's a great thrill when you I shot my sister's crossbow. Never shot a crossbow before. 70 yards. Bullseye! Yes! He said, "You're good." No, that stupid thing got a scope on it. You just pull the trigger. My grandkid could do it. I mean, my little grandkid will. No big deal. Accurate? But sometimes we take things so, we try to be so important. Remember now, I'm preaching this to who? You just get to listen. Now, the normal thing, that when we see an ungodly with their fortune, we become uneasy, don't we? Well, that's not fair. Think of all the missionaries came to Nepal and had all the bucks. And you're struggling. Think of the kids in college. Remember in college when some of those kids drove around those nice big cars? Or big trucks? Big motorcycles. And you're saying, that's not fair. Well, first of all, you're breathing God's air.
Amen.
It ain't yours. So you ought to just say, thank you, Lord, for the air.
Yes.
You're drinking God's water.
Yes.
You're eating food.
Amen.
Let me ask you tonight, does everybody have a house to sleep in tonight?
Amen.
You say, but you ought to see our house. It's just a little thing. Sure beat the tent.
Amen.
But preacher, our cupboards are not full. Jesus said, I'll give you daily bread.
Amen.
Tried to teach them 40 years of that to a bunch of Jews, and they couldn't understand it. You finally had to make it turn to worms. Right now, this could be a long series sermon. But the true Christian should be at ease as one who is sure that the Lord is righteous in all his acts. Just maybe that rich man has to have that to get through. Maybe he will see Christ through it. I don't know. I think it's God's choice. It's kind of like dad. A father raises some kids. He and Ma go through life. They come to a certain time in life and they say, you know what, let's get rid of some of this stuff. And so dad says, I'm going to give this shotgun to this boy. And I'm going to give this pistol to this boy. And I'm going to give this rifle to this boy. And I'm going to give this motorcycle to this boy. And I'm going to give this... I don't know what girls get, but anyway. Let me ask you this. Just remind, Chad Corden Casey, does Chad Corden Casey have the right to tell me what I give away? Answer me.
No.
It's fine. That's why I'm giving it away. And I know, I take a lot of, you see my CIT here, critical incident training, I understand that. I know about suicide and when people are giving stuff away and they're, no, I'm not. I just got a lot of junk and I get rid of some of that stuff, amen. But when you hand your grand, by the way, you're really not supposed to give it to your kids, you're supposed to give it to your grandkids. The inheritance of the father goes to the grandkids. Doesn't go to the kids. And by the way, when my dad gave me, he didn't need to give it to me because my dad was my dad. And he got his stuff and I got my stuff. My dad does not owe me. You understand that? My dad did not owe me. Well, my dad didn't. You? Shut up. Wasn't yours in the first place.
Amen.
Just be grateful. Yes. Be thankful.
Yes.
Happy.
Yes.
Thank you, Dad. I love the one motor. I saw a motor home that says, we spent our children's inheritance on this stupid thing. You should not be waiting for Dad to die. A little boy says, hey, Papa. Papa, what? He said, Make a frog sound. Make like a frog. Papa says, why? Well, he says, well, my dad says, when you croak, we're going to get the farm and go to Disney World. You laugh? I've been a pastor 44 years. I'm telling you, people do that. I've seen people go into other... I've seen people, when the grandma's dead, and the family's in doing the funeral stuff, I know other family members go right to mother's house and steal and take. That's stealing. Taking, well, that's mine. No, it's not yours! Keep your dirty rotten hands off it. I wouldn't want that. Good idea, right on the back. This is for... My crazy Corey, there's a yellow sugar bowl in the house. We've had this Tupperware sugar bowl for a million years. We brought it in off the ark. He wants that. Now, Dad, I want that. I said, are you out of your mind? I should take it. He says, I don't want to really like it. I don't want it. He said, I just like people think I want it. Well, you're going to get it, buddy. I'm putting your name on the bottom of that stupid thing. By the way, when you give to your children, your grandchildren, you get the joy of giving. When you're dead, you ain't getting nothing. Boy, some of you kids are, yeah, I'm going to get some stuff from Grandpa tonight. Yeah. Have mercy on your soul. It seems not hard to be carnal with judgment when you see the best meat go to dogs and his loving children pine for want of it. Yet God tells us not to fret nor be envious of those who seem to get by robbing God and cursing his servants. You take it easy. It's all right. You say, that's not fair. Well, first of all, I didn't know you were the judge. You hear me? I didn't know you were the judge. It's not your job to judge others. By the way, a lot of people judge a lot of people, even at Heritage Baptist Church, and you have no right to judge them. It's out of your area of judgment. You aren't even... For instance, Judge McKittrick. What if Judge McKittrick went down to Butte, Montana and says, okay, order in the court. And they said, you're out of your jurisdiction. Now get out of here. Billings, police officer coming in the Great Falls, pulls you over for speeding. What are you going to say? Hey, you're out of your jurisdiction, guy.
Right.
Now, I know for a fact that if they're a sheriff, they have complete jurisdiction off the whole state of Montana. There's more jurisdiction they have than the highway patrol. You understand that? So don't mess with the sheriff. Because they can arrest any place and go any place, state of Montana. Plus, they can do Idaho. They're pretty powerful. But there's a lot of people today, and you're judging your. Can I tell you something? If you're a mama and daddy, and your children are here, and they have family, you don't judge their family. I tell my family today. I said, you know what? Let me tell you something. When I got married, I didn't tell my dad I was moving. I just moved. That's Bible. You're supposed to cleave unto your wife. Leave your father and mother. Once they said I do, James Ortiz, you have no right over Krista and Corey. She kind of messed that up, though. She came home and, boy, Dad is really after you now, amen. And Carla. They have husbands now. Let me say that. You're not responsible for them anymore. You understand that? You don't obey your daddy. You obey your husband. Or you obey your wife. Let me help you out there. To delight thyself. delight thyself. I remember when my boys, when they were little, I'd take them over to Grandma and Grandpa Fry. The fact that I was starting a church and I was working three jobs besides pastoring. My father-in-law and mother-in-law spent more time with my children than I did. That was devastating to me. And when I'd always marveled at the fact that when I was there to take them home, they'd always cry and want to stay with Grandma and Grandpa. I kind of, that's not good. I didn't think. Until I had grandkids. I was holding Walker. He was just a little guy. And his dad says, "Okay, Walker, let's go." And he grabbed me by the neck and said, "No." Oh, brother. Oh, boy, I thought for sure the old Chad was going to. But he grinned and said, at the amazement, "I will tell you that that was delight when he grinned at me. When the grandchildren come and see me, I delight in that." God delights when we come to Him and we bow our hearts to Him and love on Him just as a little child loves on their grandparents. There ain't nothing like it, isn't there? You're the luckiest guy in the world to have two of your grandkids living with you. There's something about it. When they catch their first fish, you delighted. I bet you just, there was a glow. Just something about it. To delight. And he says, commit your ways. To commit to something is putting your faith into something. When you come to your doctor and he tells you, and you say, "I'm not feeling well," he examines you and prescribes a treatment. The treatment is no good until you commit to that treatment. Putting your trust in the doctor is committing your life to him. It is amazing how we'll commit our life to the doctor who says that we need to take something, or he needs to take something out or off. As long as he can give us good health, we're going to do it. We'll swallow, we'll get poked and punctured and jabbed and stabbed and picked and pricked and prodded and eat anything he says. Before birth, we have a doctor to take care of our unborn. Our prenatal pictures are taken, sonogram, from birth through adolescence, adults, and the geriatrics. We are constant motion, willing to allow some quack to cut and hack and practice using our own money. "Yeah, I'll do that." We commit a doctor to saw us in half, probe, poke, slice, dice, scope, punch, push. And men will sacrifice their internal life savings and commit their entire wealth to a doctor who is out golfing and fishing and driving Mercedes and a Corvette in his garage, lives in a mansion and won't answer his phone. Won't we? Queen Elizabeth said to her doctor, her physician, "I will give you half of my kingdom if you give me one more day." That's serious. Yet man is only promised 70, 80 years to live on this old earth. And when he dies, he leaves to a bunch of ungrateful kids that fight and pout and pour over all the things after the funeral, and they won't even get along together. And that was his desire, that his children loved each other. Would you please tell me why, with all common sense, man is so unwilling to make the same kind of preparation in life for quadrillions of years? God says, consider the soul. That's why David's hymn, he says, commit thy ways on the Lord. And can I just tell you, when you commit yourself on the Lord, there's no disappointments at the end. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. We don't know how many days we've got left.
Right.
Guy I'm burying tomorrow, 51 years old. All of a sudden he wasn't feeling good. 3 days later, died, ruptured intestines. It died, gone. We don't know that stuff.
Right.
We don't always like my cousin Dwayne, who lingered for a year and suffered grievously. Some of your parents did that. My mother was liver cancer. 2 years suffered like no one should ever have to suffer. She kept saying, aren't I gold yet? Aren't I gold yet? She had some things to do. Whole high school class of the school came to see her and stood around her bed. Thanked her for being the woman she was. Tell you what, menace. Our lives are so entrenched in getting things for us. We're no different than the fish. We get behind the rock and wait for that easy little worm or that bug come by and sit back there. Fish are not out in that hard stream. They want comfort. We're like the old bear. Just kind of lays there and waits something good by and quick run, gets it, lays down and eat it. Here's a stump. Roll it over and eat the grubs, amen. That's what we are. We're comfort-loving people. We don't want people in our space. We don't want people to get in our way. We don't want people to cause us a hiccup in our life. And when we do, we put up this great big wall. Unpenetrative. Nobody can get at you and you say, I've had it with you. I don't think Jesus wants us to do that, did he?
Right.
Jesus wants us to go out and look for people that have problems. He said that you'll have the poor always with you. Ever wonder why he had all the poor with you? Because God gives you an opportunity to help them.
Yep.
It's not the poor's responsibility to come up here and bust you and say, hey, I need some money.
Right.
Corey and I rode through Glacier the other day and last week on our motorcycles and stopped at Browning. I love stopping at Browning. There's always something going on at Browning. Always. At the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. Always something. And I saw this guy. I'd seen many times there. And I'm sitting there, and we went in, and you can buy chicken wings in there. Man, they're good. Amen. Bought some chicken wings. I remember I used to do that with your daddy. We stopped in Browning before, after we get done preaching, we eat chicken wings.
Amen. Amen.
So it probably killed him. But anyway, sitting there, and I was sitting on a motorcycle, a big old green motorcycle. It's a pretty motorcycle, it is. And I was sitting there, and Corey's on the other bike, and we're just laughing and giggling. And here comes the guy by. He said, I said, where are you from? He said, Hawaii. I said, where in the world? Hawaii. Yeah, I said, we came out here. And I'd seen a lady with here's a lady walking with her own flower in her hair, you know. And I said, is that your wife? I said, yeah. And he's talking about motorcycle stuff. And then this Indian come up. Bless his heart. I love these guys, you know. He looks at me, and I says, I know you from someplace. He said, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And we're talking, you know. He said, bum. He's looking for some money, you know. And you know what? I'd give him some. You know, when people ask me for something, I just give it to them. And if they're going to do something bad with it, that's between them and God.
Amen.
God told me to give him something, I'll give him something.
That's right, amen.
So he come by and we're talking. And I seen him over talking to this Hawaiian people. Then he moved. I thought, well, maybe he's with him. I don't know. He's kind of a well-dressed guy. And he walks up, and we were talking. He says, I know you. I said, yeah. He said, what do you do? And I pulled out of my card. I didn't have any of my church card. I just had a sheriff deal. And he goes, yeah, I thought I knew you. And we laughed. And I said, no. I said, I've been up here. I said, I used to preach for Brother Holman. And, oh, yeah, Star School. Yeah, we talked, you know, and had a good time. And all of a sudden, here comes the owner of Town Pump, you know, kind of, all right, Charlie, you need to move along. All right. And Corey handed him a bag of some chicken wings, man. He walked off. Hey, what's wrong with that? Why aren't you to give people what they want? Why don't you just be friendly with people?
Amen.
Just be nice.
Amen.
You don't have to be growl gut all the time. Tasmanian devil. You don't have to be that way.
Amen.
You know, be sweet. You know what? It'll help you just to be sweet. Now, I'm going to live this sermon all week this week. I better have some money in my pocket. And people are going to really gripe me this week, and I'm going to growl and stuff. But anyway, I always do. Man, I preach it, man. I have to live it, amen.
Amen.
Certain people remind me to live it, amen. So. Let's just be a happy group of people.
Yes.
I say, hey, are you from that Heritage Baptist Church? Well, you're nice people.
Amen.
You're a friendly church. Yes. Now, I've seen a kid parked out here tonight. I come over and see him.
Amen.
I'm glad to see him, man. I'm glad to see any kid come to this parking lot. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And glad you're here. Learn something. Listen. Folks, please be careful to every person you meet today, because everybody's having a burden. Everybody's having a heartache. Everybody's going through something.
Right.
I ain't met a person yet that didn't have something going on in their life today.
Right.
We could share, but we wouldn't get out of here. It's 7:39. Let's stand and be dismissed. Live like Jesus, amen. Live like Jesus. By the way, it takes a balanced person. There are certain things you don't give away. You understand that? There are certain times you do move. There are certain times that you do say no. There are certain times that you stay the course. But boy, when you're always ornery all the time, there must be something wrong inside that old heart of yours. They're whining and griping and complaining and just things ain't good. I'll tell you one. Number one, you haven't been in your Bible.
Yep.
I've never found a person that was never up. I've never found a person that was in his Bible. Now, I can understand when things are going up and down. Things happen in our lives. We get cut. We bleed for a little bit. It takes about 7 days to heal. For some of you, get your feelings hurt. It takes about 3 days, and then you kind of get over it. Then you actually realize how ridiculous that was, and then you realize it was just pride you got mad because of it. Yeah. Hate to let you go. Just fun seeing you. Listen, I got 2 services I need to catch up on, so I just about did it. It's 7:40 right now. So, hey, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're on your way to heaven. Make sure you know that, and make sure that you're serving the Lord. Life is too short to carry grudges and complain and gripe. Hey, smile. Make the world think you're up to something, amen? Just go out and do something. Do something really neat. See some kid that needs some help. Go help them. Do something for them. Find some way to just make them happy. Some of them, you never make them happy. Some kids, they just... Rah! And then there are others that... Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these dear, lovely people. I pray, Father, you'd speak to our hearts and our lives. Help us live close to you. Lord, I pray you just protect us tonight. Lord, I pray there anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, that tonight would be that night. My friend, listen to me. God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, you're not here tonight, you're not sure of eternity, you're not sure of heaven or hell, why don't you just pray with me and say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now wait, I've got a couple things for you. All right. Number one. If you're going around the